this?
It found the example you gave, they're davening straight to Hashem and saying, you know, you, that Hashem should remember here, it sounds like you're davening to the...
Chas v'shalom. That's a very fine line, and it's good you're forcing us to clarify it. There's a very delicate point here and a very delicate difference between the highest mitzvah and kfirah. If a Jew goes to a grave of a tzaddik and says, tzaddik, Mr. Tzaddik, or Rabbi Tzaddik, please give me this, give me that, do this, that's kfirah, chas v'shalom. If a person goes to the grave of a tzaddik, that's atheism. That's going against, that's anti-Hashem. If a person goes to the tzaddik and says, you are the closest one to Hashem, and therefore I'm asking you to use your closeness to Hashem to be mispalel for me, to assist me, that you should be mispalel to Hashem, that kind of thing. Just like when the Jews had the plague of snakes during the time of the Midbar, and it says that they went to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, Moshe Rabbeinu, help us. So it says he put up the Nechash HaNechoshes, and it wasn't them. They said to Moshe, the wording in the Chumash there is very clear. They said to Moshe Rabbeinu, daven for us that Hashem should take away this plague. Not you take away the plague. They asked Moshe Rabbeinu to be mispalel that the plague should be taken away. When a person goes to the kever, the tzaddik, he asks the tzaddik to use his closeness to Hashem to assist us in our relationship with Hashem, to help us to be mispal, we should come close to Hashem, or to be mispal that we should be zechet to tikkun hamidos, but always never detaching the tzaddik from Hashem. What gives the tzaddik his whole greatness is the kesher to Hashem.
It's tricky because in a certain way we're davening to the tzaddik to daven for us. You know?
Not davening to the tzaddik. We're asking the tzaddik to be mispal for us. There's a difference.
When you ask the kesher, is it better to say to Hashem, please ask my parents in merit of the tzaddik, or should you say, as it were, tzaddik, please pray for me, or
I'm
one.
Telling you that both formats are quoted. The one that's accepted by everybody is format one, which is that Hashem, please help me in the zchus of the tzaddik that's buried here. Those people that have a different type of emunas tzaddikim are willing to go for that format too also, where they're not afraid. Look in the Chumash, when it came to Kolev ben Yefuneh, the Torah did not, Gemara, let's get back to basics. In the Chumash, it says Moshe Rabbeinu sent a team of 12 spies to go to Eretz Yisrael. 10 of them got messed up, 2 didn't. One of them didn't get messed up because he got a bracha from Moshe Rabbeinu. He got it straight from the top. The tzaddik put a special protection on him. The second one, Kolev ben Yefuneh, saw what happened, and he made a beeline for Kivrei Tzadikim. He made a beeline for Chevron. He went to the Maris HaMachpelah, and Rashi in Chumash says, and I quote, the wording in Rashi is that Kolev Levadoi Holashom, Kolev himself went there, Vinishtateach al Kivrei Ovois, he prostrated himself on the Kvorim of the Ovois, Shelo Yehe Misas Lechaverov Lihois Batsosom, so that he should not get sucked in with this bad Eitzah of his friends. He shouldn't fall victim to what his friends fell victim of, speaking Lashon Hara against Eretz Yisrael. Here I don't see it. If I'm not mistaken, in the Gemara, Rashi is quoting, in other words, Rashi is giving us his version of the wording Gemara. It says that he asked them to be mispalel for him. And again, you have stories in the Gemara itself. The Gemara says that there was a person who was being given trouble. The Gemara in Tainus quotes a few stories like this. One story is that there was a certain rabbi who the members of the household of the Reish Galusa were giving him problems. They were making trouble for him. So he went to his father's grave and he asked his father to be of assistance to him in dealing with this. The Gemara says, sure enough, a couple of days later, some people from the Reish Galusa were riding by with their horses close to where the cemetery was, and suddenly a hand reached out from the cemetery and grabbed hold of their horses' hooves, feet, and the horses stopped moving. And the people were looking and they saw something very strange. And it was only when they agreed not to bother that person's son anymore that their horses were released and given permission to go. So there definitely are some proofs from the Gemara, from the Chumash, that this wording is permissible. But I'm saying again, it's delicate. You have to know that if you modify the drop, if you get off track a little bit, you could do a very bad, you could be making a terrible mistake.
Mm-hmm. What's Moshe Leah? he said that it said in the Ahuas and Gomorrah Brochas, and he said that the only place that is permissible to speak with a tzaddik as if he's he was niftar, he was dead,
yes,
is at his kever. You are allowed, it's permissible to go and ask for that tzaddik's advice, for his protection, for that he should be mispala to a kodesh baruch hu for you, you know,
right.
And that is completely beseder at his kever.
We're reading from the Gemara in Soita, Daf Yud Dalet Amid Aleph, in the Bach. The Bach fills in a piece that seems that's missing from our version of the Gemara. And it says as follows. The Omar Rabbi Choma Bar Chanina said an additional statement. Mipnei ma nistater kivroi shel Moshe me'enei bosar adam. Why is it that the site of Moshe Rabbeinu's grave is hidden from the eyes of man? Nobody knows where he's buried. The reason is as follows. Mipnei shegolui v'yodua lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Hashem knows she'osid Beis HaMikdosh lichorev, that there's going to come a time when the Beis HaMikdosh is going to be destroyed. Ulehigolois es Yisrael me'artzam, and the Jews are going to be driven out from Eretz Yisrael. Shemo yovoyu lekvurosei shel Moshe bo'is ha'shoah. Maybe, if the Jews did know where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried, they would go to his grave at that time, ve'yamdu bibchia, and they would stand there in tears, crying, v'yischananu le'Moshe, and they would plead with Moshe Rabbeinu, v'yoymru loy, and they would say to Moshe Rabbeinu, amoid b'tfila badenu, Moshe Rabbeinu, stand up and pray for us. Va'oymed, again, not stand up and do for, stand up and pray for us. Va'oymed Moshe, and Moshe Rabbeinu would get up, would rise up, umevate leshagzera, and he would wipe out Hashem's decree. Mipnei shechavivim tzadikim b'misosom yoisem ibechayim, because we know that tzadikim are more beloved to Hashem after their passing away than during their physical lifetime. They're able to be more effective in death than during their lifetime. How do we know that? True. We learn it out from Shimshon HaGibor. The Gemara learns out from Shimshon HaGibor. There's a pasuk that says clearly by Shimshon HaGibor that with his death, he killed more Philistines than throughout his whole lifetime. You remember the story? He was standing in the stadium with the pillars, pulled them apart and killed hundreds of thousands of Philistines. So the wording in the pasuk precisely is that he killed more in death than he did during his lifetime. The Gemara quotes that pasuk and says, from here we know that gedolim tzadikim b'misosom yosem b'chayim, that tzadikim are greater in their passing or after they've passed away than during their lifetime. The Gemara plays it both ways. One second, continuing, shekein atamoitze, because we find this happened already in history. Isn't it? The Shul Shohoy Yisrael Bamidbor, when the Jews were in the desert, Visorchu b'maseyem, and they messed up their deeds. V'osu Egel, they made a golden calf. Kotzav HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Yisrael, Hashem got boiling mad at the Yidden. V'omar l'Moshe, and he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Heref mimeni, step aside, v'ashmidem, and allow me to wipe them out. Kamot tzadikim hoyu bo'isi hador. How many tzaddikim were there in that generation? It wasn't just one tzaddik, there was a lot of tzaddikim. The kama chassidim. And how many chassidim were there in that doer? Moshe, v'aharoin, v'yoshua, el dodumedod, v'shivim skenim, v'shar chachomim, v'talmidim, v'loy osa b'shvilam. And Hashem didn't do anything on the merit of all the other tzaddikim. V'loy bitel hagzera, elo b'shvil Moshe. He rescinded his decree only in the schus of Moshe Rabbeinu. What proof is that? Excuse me? No. What this proves is that you might want to ask, hold on a second, but what's the big deal? So we don't have Moshe Rabbeinu's grave. So we have Rabbi Akiva's grave, we have this one's grave, we have that one's grave. The answer is not all tzaddikim are the same. Sure, there are people who ask, what kind of crazy, ridiculous thing is this? People should leave Eretz Yisrael for Rosh Hashanah and go to a site of a tzaddik who's buried in a chutz loretz. when you have if it's kivrei tzaddikim you're interested in, there are kivrei tzaddikim here in Eretz Yisrael, and that's the most logical question. The question makes a lot of sense. The answer is these people believe that the graveside of this tzaddik is different from other tzaddikim. You mean he's greater than Rabbi Akiva? That's not the point. Rabbi Akiva didn't say this. This tzaddik said that anybody who comes to my gravesite and says these 10 kapitel of Tehillim and gives a pruta tzedakah on my behalf, I'll do everything in the world to help that person. And this tzaddik said that I can, on Rosh Hashanah, I can do more for the person than I can do throughout the entire year. So his students, those that are loyal to him, to them it's no question why, if you haven't, you have Rabbi Aki, you have this one's grave, you have that one's grave. The Gemara here, but in other words, the emphasis in this last part here is to know that it was specifically Moshe Rabbeinu that had this in with Hashem. So don't think that you'll go to any grave of a tzaddik and it'll be the same. There are differences among the tzaddikim. Earlier, he brought the proof, he showed that they will go to the grave of Moshe Rabbeinu and they'll ask Moshe Rabbeinu, get up and daven for us, and he'll do it. If they'll come to his grave and they'll cry there, there's nothing that won't, even if Hashem won't want it, kaviyochol, Moshe Rabbeinu will get up and he'll be mevatel the gzeirah. And because Hashem doesn't want that to happen, therefore Hashem was forced to hide Moshe Rabbeinu's grave. You understand? The answer is yes and no. But not yes and no. Yes and yes. I'm sorry. Both are true. We find when it came to Egel HaZohav, even though Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that did it, he did it with the Schus of the Tzaddik that passed away. That shows an even greater punchline. That even Moshe, here it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was chief of chiefs, that you had Aaron HaKohen and Shivim Skenim and all zero, all weren't able to do what Moshe Rabbeinu could do. And what Moshe Rabbeinu was able to do, he was only able to do because he was plugged in to Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. That the Gemara says in another place. Both Gemaras are true. The Gemara there says that it was only when he mentioned the Zuchus of the Tzaddikim that had passed away, that clinched it. That made his tefillah complete and completely effective.
And Moshe had to do the invoking of the
Zuchus. Exactly. Now, again, advice to friends. We're talking to friends here. I learned this Gemara when I was 18 years old, 19 years old, and I was in a yeshiva in America at the time, and there were people who made fun of Breslov, made fun of Kivrei Tzaddikim, and at the time I took this Gemara and showed it to them. Some of them, who had a degree of honesty, that was the end. They were shocked. They thought I must have gone home and taped this into the Gemara. They could imagine. They went home to check their own Gemaras to see if the same thing was in theirs. But upon seeing it, it quieted them down to a degree. But you have to know that not everybody's ready. These are concepts that unfortunately many Yidden haven't been taught. They're not aware of this, and it comes to them as a tremendous shock and chiddush. And many of them, if they wouldn't see it in the Gemara, they would say this is blasphemy, this is total, this is some other religion. But before you get into any debates with people, you have to see who you're dealing with. If you see a person is sincere, they're really asking because they want to know, they want to learn, then you have the right to such a person, you have the right to engage them in conversation and to discuss it, to try to show a person what you know, what you don't know. But if you see that a person takes an attitude that there's no such thing, no such thing means you've learned through the whole Shasa, you learned the entire Torah, in other words, whatever's in your brain exists, and whatever's not in your brain has to be part of another religion, such a person you don't get into an argument with or a discussion, because even after you show them, they're not going to accept it. Some people, their attitude is, whatever I know or whatever I do, that's perfection. If you're doing something in addition to what I'm doing, or you're doing something different from what I'm doing, obviously what you're doing is wrong. It couldn't be correct, otherwise I'd be doing it. And a Jew has to be careful not to be holding in that place. Until we're Moshe Rabbeinu's, our attitude has to be that we have a lot to learn from every Yid. Somebody wants to show you something, to be eager to listen and to look and then to evaluate. And each person follows their rabbi. Each person has respect for their own way and respect for somebody else's way. Now, can we get back to where we're holding?
Continuing what we're saying, was Milton saying here also that to a certain degree, the depth of a tzaddik is the acid test, the litmus test that a real tzaddik is after he's dead? You know, if you seem like somebody's very righteous and all that, what it was here in the lunch, really?
Meaning?
It seems like that's like a real proof of a tzaddik.
No, he was saying that in a sense, that's when his greatness shines even more. He becomes even greater in his passing than during his lifetime. And again, that's why we said Erev Rosh Hashanah, because of the fact that we're going to a day of judgment and everything, it's very important for us to make sure to plug into those tzaddikim in terms of asking Hashem to help us in their zuchus, or in asking them to join with us in tefillah, that they should be meshatev their tefillah. In fact, there's another medrash where the medrash says that there's a pasuk, Gefen mimitzrayim tasiya, that Hashem has brought forth a nation from Egypt. He took the Jews out of Egypt, and the Jews are compared to Gefen. So the Gemara says, what's the comparison? Just like Gefen, just like a grapevine, only grows when it's given dead wood to wrap around, like when you make a fence next to it, and then the vine wraps itself around that fence. The Gemara says, so too Klal Yisrael has to rely on the zechus of the tzaddikim who passed away. You know, that's their support. The main support for Am Yisrael is that fence, the tzaddikim that have passed away, that we wrap ourselves around. Next, paragraph Yud Beis. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, V'zeh b'chinas maimar ha-Zohar HaKadosh. What we've discussed till now is connected to a paragraph in the Zohar HaKadosh, where the Zohar HaKadosh says as follows. Tono, we learned, mai dechsiv, this that it says in a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, al tiruni sha'ani shichar choyres, don't look at me because I'm black. I'm in my, you know, I'm very dirty now. Avol b'shay dodi ihi goy rechimo sagyo legabi rechimo dilo az iris garma b'zeiru sagi ad lo yischazi oismino bar ze'eiro denekuda chodo. The Zohar HaKadosh says that there are certain times when the Shekhinah feels a deep love, a tremendous love towards her beloved, kaviyochel towards Hashem, towards Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the Shekhinah finds itself in the most, in its tiniest, shrunken state, to the point where it becomes almost invisible. All that's visible of it is a tiny dot. We'll translate the words literally. Beshaita, at the time, the Ihi, where she, referring to the Shekhinah, Goyrechimo Sagya, from a feeling of tremendous, intense love, Legabe Rechima Dilo, to her beloved, as Iras Garma, she makes herself small, Bezeiru Sagi, shrinking herself, reducing herself tremendously, Ad Lo Yischazi Oismino, to the point where there's no letter of the Shekhinah that's visible, Bar Ze'era De Nekuda Choda, other than the tiniest dot of the smallest Nekuda. Umay Ihu, what is that? Ois Yud. The letter Yud of the Hebrew alphabet is the smallest letter in the entire alphabet. So when that happens, when the Shekhinah finds itself in that smallest shrunken state, Kedain Iskisias Mikol Chelen, the Shekhinah is covered up from all armies. Umesharyim Dilo. Mikol Chelen Umesharyim Dilo. The Shekhinah is covered up and hidden from all of her armies and all of her servants even. In other words, she goes into hiding where not even her own servants can see her. Lahavdil, like a queen who goes into a state of hiding where her own maids even can't see her. Ve'ihi Amrit, and the Shekhinah cries out at that time and says, Al tiruni shani shechachoyres. Don't look at me when I'm in this blackened state. Deles ba'ois do chivro kishar asvon. Because in the letter Yud, there is no whiteness as there is in the other letters of the Aleph Beis. The letter Beis, for example, has a black exterior and a dot, and there's white inside also, white that's part of the Beis. The letter Dalet, any letter, the only letter which is all black is the Yud. It has no filler, you know, nothing that it's around. V'leis asar la'a'ala l'chu t'chois gatfoi. And the Shekhinah says, at this point, I have no room for you to protect you under my wings. Like an eagle that's protecting its young under its wings. The Shekhinah says, I'm in such a shrunken state now that I can't help you at all. I can't serve as a protection for anybody else other than myself at that point. Because right now I am simply a tiny dot. That's all I am. That's this fallen state of the Shechina in a sense. My avdi inun giborin takif ichela. So the Zohar Kodesh says, when this happens to the Shechina, what do those great mighty warriors do about this, referring to the tzaddikim? Ukedein migoy kolin v'shagin, through the blasting sounds of their voices and their screaming, de'inun giborin takif echeli, from the screams and sounds of the voices of these mighty warriors, nofik doido rechimo dilo migoy hechole, the beloved one of the Shekhinah comes out of his castle, bekamo matnon, with many gifts, ubekamo nevazvezin, and with all kinds of trinkets, uberechin, ubebusmin, and with all kinds of perfumes, voosil gabo, and comes before the Shekhinah. This is referring to Hashem kavyohu, kutshibrichu, who exits from his palace now. He's the one who leaves his place to go to where the Shekhinah is in this fallen state, and he takes with him all kinds of gifts and perfumes and everything. Va'ashkochlo, and he finds the Shekhinah beloy diyukna v'shapiru klal, without any face and without any beauty. The Shekhinah is in its lowest, ugliest state. Koriv legabo, kavyochol Hashem approaches the Shekhinah, umenashiklo, and kisses the Shekhinah, ad de isaris ze'er zer, until the Shekhinah wakes up a little bit, until it becomes aroused a little bit, migoy rechin ubusmin, from all the perfumes that Hashem pours on the Shekhinah, ubechetvo derechimu da'amo, and out of the joy of this great love that's being shown to the Shekhinah, is benias, she becomes built up, ve'is avidas betikunoho, and she fixes up all the tikkunim that she needs. She fixes herself up in all the ways that she needs to, b'shapiru dila, with her true beauty. Va'aldok siv, and about this the pasuk says, giboyre koyach oisei devoroi, that these great tzaddikim are called giboyre koyach, powerful ones who create the devoroi, the dvar Hashem, the betukva ugvurta delohoin, with their great strength. These tzaddikim, with their great power and strength, garmendo, they make this happen. Oisei devoroi, they create the dvar Hashem. Vadai mesaknen lo umahadren lo diyukno kadmo. They certainly are the ones who improve the Shechina and restore to her original image, her original beauty. Ad kan l'shoinoi, this is the wording of the Zohar HaKadosh, describing what happens to the Shechina at a certain point, when the Shechina becomes very fallen and very low in its lowest state, and then it requires, at that point, it requires the screams of certain outsiders to wake up kaviyochel kutshebrichu, the husband of the Shechina in a sense, Hashem himself, and bring him out of his heichal to go to the place where the Shechina is, and bring with him all the ingredients that are needed to wake up the Shechina from its fallen state, and to bring about the Yichud Kodesh Baruch Hu Shechinta.
But in the beginning of the quote, it says that she does this out of great love, right?
No. 1 second. It's
B'shaita
di'ihi goy rechimo sagel rechim de'lo. Exactly. That from her great love, she shrinks herself. Out of great love, she shrinks herself and hides herself from everybody else. That's the point. Even until she becomes almost invisible, and she's even covered up, mikol chelin umeshayim dilo. Al teruni shashni shachares means nobody can look at me. She goes into a hidden state.